Well, good morning. I pray that you are all safe and warm this morning as we face our annual winter storm here in Texas. It feels like every year, every other year, we get at least one of these that affects parts of our state, if not all of our state. And so this morning we are not gathered for corporate worship, and that breaks my heart because I love worshiping our triune God with all of you and singing praises to Him, praying together, and hearing the word proclaimed together as we seek to follow Jesus as May First Baptist Church together. But I wanted to provide a devotional for you this morning and open God's Word with you from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. These are verses that have been monumental for me in my Christian walk, and I trust they have been for many of you as well. And so I want to start by reading these two verses, and then we'll draw three application points from them. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." Many consider what Paul writes in the letter to the Romans to be the greatest letter ever written. There's so much packed into this letter that he wrote to the church at Rome 2,000 years ago. Now, when he's writing to this church, he had not met them. He's writing to them to tell them about the gospel of grace that he's taking throughout the ancient world and solicit their support in his ministry journey. He wants them to support him, and he wants them to know what he believes about God, what he believes about how God saves sinners, and how we as believers should live in light of those realities. And that's really what we're talking about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 this morning. And the question I want us to ask is, how should any believer anywhere respond to the grace of God in your life? Because once you've been saved, that's not the end of Christianity for you. That's not where the Christian journey ends. That's really where it begins, and it has no ending because we will live forever with God. And so how should we live? How should we respond to the grace of God in our lives? Well, Romans chapter 12 tells us exactly that. It tells us how we should respond. Because that's what Paul has done. Paul has showed this church in Rome, in Romans 1 through 11, what the gospel is, the implications of it, the reality that we, believers, anywhere, anytime, have been saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's how we're saved. But now what Paul is doing in Romans chapter 12 is he's moving into the application part of this letter. That's typically how he does things in most of his letters. Ephesians, he does it that way. Colossians, Philippians, as we've even seen, he gives you the truth and then he applies that truth to your life. And so what I want you to see this morning, as we apply this text, as we understand it in its context, as we think about how it makes a difference for us, I want you to see that the only reasonable response to the gospel is to give God our whole lives and be transformed daily by His truth. We are to give God our whole lives and to be transformed daily by His truth as we worship Him. And so I want to give us three application points from these verses. First, offer yourself fully to God. Offer yourself fully to God. Second, resist worldly patterns. Resist worldly patterns. And third, renew your mind daily. All of that is shaped under the umbrella to give God your whole life and be continually transformed by His truth. That is your calling as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at verse 1 again. Look at what Paul writes. He says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." What Paul is about to say and what he has said in these verses is grounded in the mercies of God. All of what Paul says is grounded in the mercies of God. What he's going to say until the conclusion of this letter is all grounded in the mercies of God, because he's going to tell the church at Rome and you and I how we are to live. He's going to give us the commands. How do you live? What does it look like to live as a Christian? But he's grounding all of that in the mercies of God. And that's important, because we have to understand that everything we do in response to God is not to earn God's favor, but it's because we have been given God's favor. That's how we live as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get that order mixed up, we've lost Christianity. We don't do things to gain God's approval. We do things and we live in a certain way because we have God's approval in Christ. And that's because of the mercies of God that we have given to us. And we are to present our entire being in response to God to what he has done. Our entire being, all of us, our bodies. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So when you're working each and every day, when you're sitting around with family maybe today, or you're sitting there watching TV and you're having conversations, you're at work this week after this freeze passes, you are to present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, we're not gathering for corporate worship today, which is extremely important. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 tells us that. But worship is not just what we do together, although that is unique and special and should be a priority in your life. It should be a priority in the life of every believer. But we worship God each and every day by how we live, by how we speak, by how we interact, by what we think, by what we're consuming in our minds. We are to present our bodies, our beings, to God and worship Him in all of our life. The second application that I want you to see from this text is in verse 2, to resist worldly patterns. So give yourself fully to God as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're called to do. And resist worldly patterns. Resist worldly patterns. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Very clear. Do not be conformed. Do not be shaped. Do not be transformed into the likeness of the world. We don't live in a neutral world. The world does not like what we believe. The Bible is very clear that there is one way to be reconciled to God. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is an offensive message, but it's the message of the Scriptures. We are not friends with the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world, and so we should not be conformed to the image and likeness of the world. That's not what we are to be as believers. We are not to be conformed to this world. So look at your life and ask yourself the question based on this text, does my life look more like what the Bible calls my life to look like as a believer? Or does my life look like the world? If you were to ask your coworkers, your friends who aren't Christians, do you notice anything about my life that's different than yours? Would they say yes or would they say no? We're not to be conformed to the ways of the world in which we live, because we are citizens of heaven. We are called out of the darkness into the light in relationship with Christ to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Our calling as believers is to fill our minds with things that God loves so we reflect the God of love. That's our calling. And so ask yourself, what am I putting in my mind? What am I thinking about? What am I doing? Does my life look like the world, or does my life look like what Christ calls it to look like? Now, we're not perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But there should be a general trajectory change of your life from what it was before you met Jesus, now after you've met Jesus again, because it's grounded in what? The mercies of God. So offer yourself fully to God, resist worldly patterns, and third, renew your mind daily. Renew your mind daily. Look at verse 2 again. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The transformation that Paul is talking about here in the second half of verse 2 is not just the changing of external behaviors. It's the changing and transformation of the heart and how we think. It's about the heart. It's always about the heart. True life change always flows from a transformation that takes place in your heart. If you just change your external behaviors, but there's no heart change, that's not what Paul is talking about here. He wants your heart to be changed because you're amazed by who God is and what He's done for you, and then your life is transformed. It's not about just doing things to earn the approval of others or earn the approval of God, but living in a way that flows from the mercies of God and what God has done for us. We could say a lot about verse 2. A lot could be said about this verse. But what I want you to focus on is renewing your mind daily. Renewing your mind daily. So just like at the beginning of verse 2, we're told not to be conformed to the likeness of the world, to this world, we are to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Well, how are you transformed by the renewal of your mind? It's not that complicated. Spend time in the Word of God. I tell you that often, and you may get tired of hearing it, but it's what I need to hear, and it's exactly what you need to hear as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because how are you to be transformed by God if you're not spending time with God? And where do you spend time with God? You spend time with God in the Bible, where He's revealed Himself to us. So focus on what God loves. Put things into your mind that transform you and make you more and more like Jesus. John Newton has this fantastic quote that I'll close with. He says, "I'm an old man now, and my mind is almost gone, but I can remember two things. I am a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Savior. I am a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Savior." What a statement that is. Because that's true of you, that's true of me, that's true of everyone, everywhere. We can really boil the Christian life down into that statement. I am a great sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. And the response to that should be a life that accords with Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where we are offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, where we are not being conformed to this world, but we are being transformed by the renewal of our minds. That'd be my encouragement to you today, is consider, how am I living in response to the grace that we find in Christ? So let me pray for you and pray for us as a church, and then we'll be finished. Father, we thank you this morning for the reality of the gospel. May we never get tired of this gospel of grace. And we thank you for Romans 12, 1 through 2, that remind us to offer ourselves fully to you, to resist worldly patterns, and to renew our minds daily as we consider more and more of who you are. Convict us of sin, conform us into the image of Christ, and allow us to glorify you in all that we think, all that we say, and all that we do. And we pray that the Lord Jesus would return quickly. We long to see Him face to face. That's our hope. He is our portion. He is our prize. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.